أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we discussed one aspect of the surah with regards to Abraha and the reason why he wanted to march on to Makkah Mukarramah. One other aspect of the surah is that this whole incident of the Ashabi Fil that had taken place was a few months before the birth of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some ulama have stated that it was approximately 50 days before the birth of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also want to manifest to the people of Makkah Mukarramah themselves, that they were a people that venerated the Baytullah, although they were in a state of kufr, they were in a state of polytheism, they worshipped idols, they worshipped gods besides Allah. That very same Kaaba was also filled with idols, but they had a great amount of love for the Baytullah. It was sort of a magnetic attraction that the Arabs had towards the Baytullah and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming more specifically, insofar as the ibadat was concerned, that they would make the tawaf of Baytullah in an unclothed, in a naked state, because they also felt that the clothes was not purchased and derived from 100% halal sources, so hence they thought it was better for them to leave the clothes and make tawaf of Baytullah. The tawaf of Baytullah also consisted of clapping and whistling around the Baytullah, and also at the same time you will find certain narrations that they would make tawaf of Baytullah also seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think also very important at this stage is they were not atheists. They didn't say that there is no Allah. That is a very, very important aspect. They said that there is Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have all the power and all the might to run the affairs of the entire universe, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires other godlings together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these godlings will assist Allah. Secondly, is they worship these gods and these idols because they felt that these gods and idols will take them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sort of an intermediary. So these were some of their beliefs, but at the same time they knew that there was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they did not believe that Allah was one, and they did not believe that Allah was powerful and mighty. So this was how they used to make tawaf around Baytullah, and this was that attraction that their hearts had towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people will travel lengthy distances and come to Baytullah to make tawaf. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, 50 days before the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to manifest this great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the one hand, and together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wanted to show, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to announce the birth of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which would subsequently be the birth of Islam and the birth of Tawheed on the surface of this earth. Now one is the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that after a Nabi gets nubuwat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any miraculous or supernatural feat is regarded as a miracle. And that miracle in the terminology of the Shariat is known as a mu'jiza. But any miracle that manifests before the birth of a Nabi or before the nubuwat of a Nabi is regarded as irhas. Now to understand this simply is that we will find that before the sun rises, we will find that we can already see light on the horizon. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show, that before the sun of hidayat, and before the sun of tawheed, and before the sun of the proper and complete way of life, Islam, rises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the light on the horizon, and hence about 50 days before the birth of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had let this entire incident manifest so that these kuffar will realize and understand that this is a miraculous event. There has to be one Allah, and there has to be that Allah that has got power and might over everything and everyone. And this will be obviously the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the other hand, when this incident had taken place, they had revered this incident to such an extent that the calendar had begun from the year of the elephants. Like how we have the Hijra calendar now, 1400 years after the Hijra, 1434 years after the Hijra. Similarly, they began to count the years from the year of the elephant. So that is why we will find that in books of history, they will say that this person was born in the year of the elephants, or that person was born 1 year or 2 years after the year of the elephants, because they took that now as the start of a new calendar and the start of a new era. That is how much they even revered the incident, and they realized that the incident in itself was great. So hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth was to have taken place about 50 days after the incident, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows this miraculous feat. On the other hand, we find that Abraha, when he realized that he needs to now destroy the Baytullah and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a matter of fact, he made a pledge that brick by brick, he will demolish the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he went to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he leaves with this army of elephants. Now, en route, some of the Arab tribes had put up a war against him, trying to stop him. But obviously, he was too powerful, his army was powerful, they did not have that amount of military force, and hence, he had two little wars that had taken place with two tribes from amongst the Arabs, and the result was that he overpowered them, he captured some of them, and he began to proceed towards Makkah Mukarramah. The people of Taif, very close to Makkah Mukarramah, they heard about Abraha's army coming, they heard how he crushed two Arab tribes already. So what they did was they decided, in order to save themselves, to save their people, they surrendered and they offered him all the assistance they could, so that there was no war that takes place and Taif will be safeguarded. En route, again, as he comes towards Makkah Mukarramah, a little distance out of Makkah Mukarramah, he sees the camels of the Quraysh that were grazing in the lands, in the pastures outside Makkah Mukarramah. So he takes hold of all this and he seizes it as a booty, and he proceeds to a place out very close to Makkah Mukarramah, out of Makkah Mukarramah. On the other hand, he sends an envoy to the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib, to say that he has come to not interfere with the Arabs, or not to interfere with the Quraysh. In other words, this is not a war between people, but all he wants to do was he wants to demolish the Kaaba and the Baytullah. And if any resistance is met, then obviously he will fight the Quraysh and the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So Abdul Muttalib delivered a very, very simple message. And his message was plus minus that is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That house was built by the Khalil of Allah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And as far as the house is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will take care of his house, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after his house. And this was the kind of yaqeen that Abdul Muttalib had with regards to the qudrat and the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, this envoy was very impressed with Abdul Muttalib's words, and he asked him to accompany him to Abraha. And hence, Abdul Muttalib now goes and is ushered into the court of Abraha. And when Abraha sees Abdul Muttalib, there was one very striking feature about Abdul Muttalib, was his body, his personality, the way he conducted himself. The beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him was extremely striking, and it strikes an impression on anyone that sees him for the first time. And when Abraha sees Abdul Muttalib, he is very impressed with Abdul Muttalib, and the result is that he asks Abdul Muttalib to come and sit next to him on his throne, on his platform, which Abdul Muttalib, as a matter of fact, does. And then thereafter, the discussion begins. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.